von Meilen und Zeilen. Abenteuer direkt aufs Ohr. Der Podcast des Delius Glasing Verlags mit Tim Kruse.
Heute geht's unter anderem um Licht. Ich habe die Theorie, dass jeder Mensch eine bestimmte Lichtstimmung braucht, um in einen Zustand zu kommen, den wir vielleicht als ausgeglichen oder zufrieden oder sogar glücklich bezeichnen könnten. Wenn dieses besondere Licht dann auch noch auf besondere Natur trifft, haben wir das Gefühl, nach Hause gekommen zu sein. Bei mir ist das zumindest so. Vergangenen Herbst war ich auf Mallorca und da war es wieder. Dieses Licht, das mich so glücklich macht und das auf eine Natur in Form von Bergen, Felsen und Wasser trifft, die mich still und fast demütig werden lässt. Deshalb springen wir heute virtuell und digital nach Mallorca und sprechen mit Ulrika Norberg, die das Buch geschrieben hat, Hike Palma de Mallorca, die schönsten Wanderrouten rund um die Metropole. Und da Ulrika Schwedin ist, gibt's den heutigen Podcast endlich mal wieder auf Englisch. Ulrika, a very warm welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much.
What is so special for you about Mallorca?
Oh, there are quite a few things, actually. First of all, I agree with you about the light, since that's one of the things that keeps pulling me back to the island. There's such a certain vibe and aura over the island. And I think it has lots to do with being very mountainous and having the beautiful Mediterranean around. And also, as I describe in the book, there's this specific reef that kind of like illuminates the certain quality of the blue color of the ocean. I just learned that when I wrote the book, which was quite extraordinary because I found that every time I hike around the coast, there's this calm, but yet openness about the ocean that I really, really like. So there's like a combination of culture on the island, the mountains, the Tramuntana mountains, and then the ocean. So, and then the people, of course.
You know, Germans call Mallorca the 17th state of Germany.
I like that. I like that.
Well, to us, the problem is when you go to Mallorca, you meet so many Germans. You hear German everywhere. They even German signs. Is that kind of bothering for people that, like, I know for Germans, it's bothering. What about Swedish people?
No, I don't mind it at all because I think, you know, when you're on the trails and when you hike, you meet, of course, lots of Germans, but you meet other nationalities as well, like Brits and Spanish and French and lots of Swedes. So, and I have only had beautiful encounters with some fellow German hikers on the trail.
Oh, wow. Oh, thank you so much. It's good to hear that. Because I know that Germans abroad are kind of ashamed of Germans.
Really?
Yeah. But I know so are the French and the Dutch, so that's fine.
Yeah. And I think it's quite the same, you know, when it comes to Swedes. You know, we don't like other Swedes to do bad marketing for us.
Exactly.
You know? So I think it's the same. You know, when we see someone who can't really deal with the alcohol or, that treat, you doing everything, you're like, oh.
I know. Okay. I have a question about you. You know, of course, I Googled you and I can see you're an author, you're a journalist, you're a scientist, yoga master, breath coach. What kind of character are you? Can you describe yourself a little bit? Because you seem to be someone to have the urge to try out new things again and again and again and not to be satisfied with only one thing.
Yeah, maybe. But I could probably describe myself as a curious nomad.
Oh, cool.
That are creative. So my three components that I do and that I'm interested in and I also do for a living is like health, art, and nature. So, you know, when I went to university, I was studying a lot. First, I became a journalist and I worked with that for a number of years. And then I just started to like, I'm also super interested in the arts and film. So I went to film school and I became a screenwriter. And thinking that that's kind of like how I want to continue to express. Because I realized at that time, just going into like one field when you're a writer can be very vulnerable, you know, because I got that advice from a professor. It's like, okay, try to like niche yourself into like one or two areas. Mm-hmm. So my niche became culture and health. So I started to, you know, do the writing in that field. Mm-hmm. And that kind of kept my curiosity going for like, okay, this is so much. So I went into like science journalism because, you know, all of a sudden you find all of these fantastic research studies. And I felt like, wow, this is not really getting out to the public. You know, are there other ways? So I kind of used my creativity in trying to find new ways to open and share and discuss. Mm-hmm. And then from my early years in my family, we've always been very interested in nature and hiking. So for me, hiking has been kind of like my outlet in so many ways, where I can think, where I can kind of connect to new ideas, where I can go out with friends and family, where there's no Wi-Fi. I just need to like log out for a moment. So for me, hiking is so many things, but for the first number one reason is just to get me, you know, upload on myself and my own kind of mind and being, and then also connect to nature, because, you know, we live in a world that's very digital and it's very artificial and created by man, and nature is not created by us. And I think that's one of the reasons why we feel kind of connected to nature, because, you know, it's so much bigger than we are. Mm-hmm. And even when we're not here, it's going to be there anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we go out to nature and kind of like connect to our own biology and being human. And very much so, I think when it comes to Mallorca, I share this with many other people that kind of like describe Mallorca the same way. Mm-hmm. It has this like spirituality built into the nature, like spirituality in terms of like being raw and human, and its history, and there's been pirates, it's been Romans, you know, there's been so many different types of people just trying to come to a certain place, figuring out, okay, what are we doing? Who am I? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like the nature is like, yeah, you know, you can come here, but I'm not going to give you the answer, but I can give you the space to figure it out on your own. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's what I love too. You know, when I'm at the Mediterranean and I look at the mountains and the ocean, I know that this has been here way before human beings were there. And it hasn't changed. The ocean looks the same. I mean, it looks different every day, but still it's the same ocean. And so have the mountains. And I think this shows that everything is so much bigger than us. And this makes me, at least, it makes me humble and just sit there and, yeah, kind of see the miracle. And I think Mallorca is one of the islands where you can see it every day, every second, in every spot.
Exactly. And I mean, like, it doesn't really matter where you are on the island, I would say. You can kind of connect to that feeling, you know, except if you're in the busyness of Palma, mm-hmm. for example. But even so, I find that Palma is unique as a city, because there are these areas like where you, as I also describe in the book, you know, it's like there's a part of the book where there are like hikes in the city and around the city. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that I wanted to put it in there because I don't want people to miss that feeling, you know, like, okay, I'm there for a day and thinking like, oh, I have to get into the mountains. You know, hiking can also be about hiking in culture, you know, like beautiful buildings.
Exactly.
Close by the water. You can like, you know, walk around and just listen to sounds and go to the Arab baths, which is a fantastic place in Mallorca. So there's so much history that you can also hike within and feel the wealth of kind of like vibes.
Yeah. I've just been to Mallorca, to Palma, in fact. Because I held a speech there. And so somebody invited me and I had 5 days. And I wished I had known your book before, because I just had this little scooter and I drove around with a scooter all over the city along the beaches and everything, which was nice. But I didn't hike because I didn't know that there were such beautiful hikes around Palma. So now I read your book and I thought, ah, damn, I should have had it a couple of months ago.
So let's talk about your book. First of all, how did that start? Because now it's out in German. Die schönsten Wanderrouten rund um die Metropole. You wrote it in Swedish or in English, or how did it start?
Well, we wrote it in Swedish and English. So the publisher, Charlotte, and I, we met because she had read another hiking book that I had written called Nomad, which is kind of like a more expose around hiking and some of my favorite hikings in the world and why. And so she had this idea of making a series of local like hiking spots around cities, and I really, really liked that. And I made the suggestion to start with Palma.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, and because she has a house in Nice, so she did the Nice one, and then I did the Palma one. Because I said, it's like, Mallorca is very unique, because if you come to Palma, you're so close to the mountains. It's just right behind you. Mm-hmm. And there are over like 11 tops. They're over 1,000 meters high. And you can access it so easily with buses, you know, trains, and you can take a cab. So it's quite easy to get to a really, really fantastic location and have a great day, like half a day or a day. Or so it's great to stay in Palma and do like daily hikes. Mm-hmm. And there's not that many cities around the world with that availability, so to speak. You know, like Stockholm is one. And you have like Salzburg is one, you know, like you have
different... Nice is one too.
Nice is one too, exactly. So Nice is the first one, and then Palma is the second book in a series that it's intended to be, you know, like finding these spots where you can easily combine, you know, your other types of work, or you make your hiking to be the only holiday you do. But I also really wanted to highlight and help to give another, you know, like image of Mallorca as a hiking destination, because it's really starting to, you know, to do, it's all the uprise. The Mallorquins, you know, the people on Mallorca are very generous, I find, in they really want you to explore the mountains, but they're funny because they always like, pardon my language, bitch about it, because, you know, they go like, well, if you go to the mountains, you better, you know, pick up after you, you know, so they walk around and they go like, no, pick it up, you know, like, don't be a bad tourist, don't be a bad tourist. So they can be, which I really, really like, actually, because they have such pride, in their island, and they should have. And, so, the combination of the hikes, I was thinking like, okay, how can we make this very accessible to people? So my suggestion was to do it like in four sections. So it's like a couple of hikes around Palma and close to Palma. And then it's one section with hikes very close to the ocean, you know, so you can really get some nice ocean vibe, you know, walking on the cliffs, you know, to lighthouses that are amazing hikes. And then there's one section with the mountainous hikes, some of really, really nice gems, and then on the countryside. So sometimes when people go to Mallorca, or when you go hiking, you know, anywhere, you always look for either, oh, I love mountains, so I'm just going to go to mountains. Oh, I love oceans, I'm just going to hike them oceans. But I hope that this book is going to give people some other ideas, like, whoa, I haven't really hiked, you know, inland. You know, in the countryside, because the countryside hiking in Mallorca is amazing, because you get to meet all the farming and the wine, the wineries, and, you know, like all of these, you know, like yards when they plant the magnolia and the mimosa, and you have all of these, like, if you like gardening and plants and donkeys and horses, and it's fantastic. And you get to, you know, hike through all of these beautiful ancient villages, you know, where you get to meet people, you can have coffee. So you can kind of combine your hike with kind of like tailor your hike into like, yeah, let's make this day about, you know, the country, or go to a winery, you know, like get the culture going. Or maybe you one day don't want to meet anyone, then you go out to into certain of the some of the more mountainous hikes, or maybe today we want to combine hiking with maybe a picnic along the shoreline, you know, at a beach, or maybe today we want to go hiking close to Palma and have a great lunch at Portixol, you know, a great, you know, hotel, you know. So I think that you can flavor your hiking much, much more thanks to this book, you know, give some other options, because we've we've also like added, you know, with each hike, like, okay, when you're here, we advise you to check that one place out or that keramist, or, you know, so you kind of get a more full flavor of an experience, because I find that hiking, as we said earlier on, can connect us to life and living and being in the present moment. So, and also really enjoy this beautiful place on earth.
Yeah. How good is your Spanish, and how important is it to speak Spanish when you go through the countryside?
It's not that important, you know. I find that, you know, a lot of Mallorquins, they speak beautiful English. But, you know, it's Catalan, you know, they up in the mountains, they don't even speak Spanish. It's, they don't even thought, no, not Spanish, Catalan, you know, like.
And then it's hard.
That is super hard. So, I mean, the little Spanish that I know, I mean, yes, when I come into like Sóller or Deia, Valdemosa, you can sometimes speak with some people in my rusty Spanish, but it's getting better every time I go, actually.
As we have many listeners who are so interested in book writing and books, because, you know, the title of our podcast is Meilen und Zeilen, which means miles and lines. Tell me more, please, a bit of how you wrote the book. So you wrote it in Swedish and then you found an English publisher? Or how, like, how's that whole process?
Well, actually, we wrote it in Swedish and English at the same time, because...
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, because the publisher... Yeah, so it actually got launched the same time in English and Swedish. So I write in English also. So I publish books in English. So I write with some, I work with some American publishing houses, and I have, you know, published some books in English. So my English is kind of like my second language. So I really. It's interesting, you know, because in Swedish, when I write in Swedish, we have more nouns than verbs. When I write in Swedish, all of a sudden it's just more philosophical and more esoteric kind of way. It can describe the environment in another nuance. Whereas when I write in English, you can kind of like do have more action words. Like you can.
Yeah, it's a technical language.
Exactly. So you, there's this fun, interesting aspect of movement. Like you can elaborate and color a little bit more with the English. So
exactly. Cause they verbalize everything.
Exactly.
You know, already the word verbalize doesn't work in German. You could say verbalisieren, but nobody would say that. It's complicated. And the English do that all the time. And this is why it's a very vivid language.
Yes. Yeah, it's, then, it's kind of like strong and action and moving forward, kind of like. And in Swedish, it's more like you sit and you observe and, you know, it kind of rolls a little bit.
Oh, that is so interesting. I love languages so much. And for example, what most Germans even don't know about our language, it's a romantic language. So this showed in the great days of German literature with Goethe and even all the way up to Rilke, you know, they... were able to be very romantic. And most Germans think we're not romantic because of our history, but actually it's a very romantic language. And this makes it so hard to translate from English into German, not to sound, to make the book sound too technical. So I find that super interesting. And then I guess your book was very successful in, or fairly successful in English. And then the German publishers found it, or how, or did your publisher, Charlotte Gavel, did she then find the German edition and Delius Klasing then published it, or how did that work?
Yeah, I think she had some connections in Germany since some prior books that she had published. So she connected with the German publishers and they really liked the idea. So they decided to, you know, give it out in German, which is, which is, I actually love some of my favorite authors are German, like Wolfgang von Goethe. I actually absolutely love. How do you say that in German? Young Werther's...
Die Leiden des jungen Werther.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Swedish, we say Unge Werthers Lidanden. Yeah.
That sounds beautiful. Can you say it again?
Yes. Unge Werthers Lidanden.
Oh my God, that is... Oh. You know, but you know, Swedish for Germans is like the paradise.
Oh.
It's, that's the country. Everybody's nice and beautiful and everything is perfect. And so, yeah. So of course the Junge Werther sounds very beautiful in German, in Swedish too.
Yeah. Thank you. But you know, it's rather interesting when it comes to that book, because it's kind of like a road movie, you know,
mm-hmm.
That whole book. So it's kind of like a hike, you know, in consciousness and in experiences. And I think that's one of the reasons I really, really like it. I have a faiblesse for books like that, you know, like they, mm-hmm. it starts like somewhere and it takes you someplace. And it on the road or on the path or in the process of the storytelling, you feel like mm-hmm. you can connect with yourself, but you also learn a few things about yourself and the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love writing like that. Like Dostoevsky is a fantastic author as mm-hmm. well, who also has
absolutely.
That skill.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Goethe's Werther was the first book to be written in that form. And that's what makes it so special, because for the first time, an author dared to write in a form where you can really connect and evolve with the protagonist. So, yeah, I love that book too. And I studied literature, so I know the book pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went through it again and again. Maybe
too much. It's absolutely an amazing book. And I keep coming back to it like every such and so years, you know, like maybe just mm-hmm. like look into it a little bit. And I mean, like I have two other authors that are like in that similar genre, and it's Geoffrey Chaucer. He's a British, you know, author that wrote mm-hmm. Canterbury Tales, which is also like
the Canterbury Tales. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I
yeah.
know that. Mm-hmm.
And then also Marcel Proust.
Yeah.
You know,
the French guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where he talks about, you know, like actually the whole book is about, you know, the idea that time is still and mm-hmm. we are the movement, you know, and you can just sit still and observe. And wow. I love that.
Yeah. I think that's like even 10 books, that one that you mean.
Yeah.
I
know.
It's yeah.
It never ends.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. It's very long. I tried to read it in French, but my French is okay, but it's not good enough to understand Proust, so I read it in German.
Yeah, I read it in Swedish.
Okay, yeah. How is it for you to be translated? Because one of my books, only one, has been translated into Czech. Don't ask me why. But the Czech liked a book of mine and they translated it. So, and I have this book of mine in Czech, and it's very special to me to have a book in another language. How is it for you to see that your book is out in German now?
Well, first of all, I feel so honored, and it's going to be so interesting to hear and you know how people can connect to it in another language that I don't really speak that well. I wish mm-hmm. I would speak German. So right now I'm learning Spanish, and then my next quest is actually I want to learn German, because I find actually German super beautiful.
Wow, not many people say that.
No, but I mean, I think it was like when I was growing up, I watched this Austrian show on television. It was this little girl, Heidi, I think it was.
Heidi, yeah, that's Swiss, I think.
Oh, yeah, but she spoke German, and I was
yeah,
just
yeah, Swiss
like,
German, yeah.
Oh, I just, so I have this like romantic idea, so I really want to learn German. But nevertheless, I find it really interesting. I remember the first book I, you know, that came out in other languages many years ago. There was one in Finnish, and I don't understand mm. like one word of Finnish, even though we're neighbors. They have a completely different...
No, I know. Nobody understands Finnish except for the 5 million Finnish.
Exactly. So, I mean, this the Swedish title was Power Yoga, because I wrote about yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And in Finnish, it was Voimo Yoga. And I was like, what is Voimo?
Oh, funny. Yeah.
And I started to read it and I absolutely don't understand. So, you know, I find it kind of scary to let that control go that I couldn't mm-hmm. really understand. I mean, maybe they have translated it completely bonkers, you know, like, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I also know that synonyms can get, you know, like when you put into Google Translate, when Google Translate just came out, you're just like, whoa, that's not even the same.
Not even close.
Not even
exactly.
close.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was really interesting to me to just kind of let go. And it became kind of like a practice for me to let go, you know, like it's not mm-hmm. in my hands yeah, anymore. Yeah, yeah. And yeah. I just have to have trust that it's, you know, well, you know, translated mm-hmm. and, but it's, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when you think about it, your book kind of finds new readers and new cultures and new reactions when it
yeah went. Exactly
and so the it's quite sad that I don't really get to meet the readers that much, you know, no author does, you know, so I think there's like a two-way street being an author, like you mm-hmm. have one thing about yourself being very introvert, you know, like you mm-hmm. kind of like to be on your own and sitting in front and just kind of like go into your mind and produce and people are scary in the process.
Right, right.
But then when the book project is done, you have to morph yourself into this other human being because mm-hmm. usually the publishing houses want you to market the book and do PR and talk to people. And here you've been months and months and months in your own little abode. And so I think I use hiking as a way of trying to bridge in between those two. Mm. So when I do writing, I try to come out into the nature and hike as much as I possibly can because it kind of like lessens the gap in between these uh-huh. two aspects of being extrovert or introvert.
Yeah, and you can be both.
I can be both,
yeah.
but mm-hmm. before I kind of, you know, had a management in between to connect between these two, I was completely exhausted after, you know, the end trail of, you know, marketing and blah, blah, blah with the book. And I'm mm-hmm. like, well. So then I started to identify myself as, oh, I'm not an extrovert. Maybe I'm just an introvert. And then I'm like, well, I can be both. Like, what am mm-hmm. I? What am I talking about? I can be both. I am both.
Yep, yep.
You know, so I was like, maybe I can just make these two aspects of myself connect more. And for me, that's hiking and movement and being mm-hmm. outdoors connects those two together.
To me, it's more the ocean. So for me, it's being on the ocean, either on a sailboat or on a surfboard or on a stand-up paddleboard that kind of recharges my energy. I feel when I am on the ocean, I am somehow in a different energy. And this is my charging. And this is why Palma de Mallorca is also so perfect because you've got the ocean right there. Plus, sometimes you've got great waves to surf. So I liked your book so much. And I'll be in Palma in October again. And then I'm going to take your book and I'm going to walk around and hike and follow your trails.
Yeah, maybe we can hike together because I'm also there in October.
All right. Perfect.
Yes. Okay. And anyone else who wants to come.
Yeah. I have one last question, you know, because yes. you do breath work and yoga and everything. Do you do organized hikes in connection with spirituality or anything?
Yes, I do. I work with a concept that I call hikefulness.
Oh, wow. That's a great word.
Yeah, I think so too. So I do conduct hiking and I find places where you can kind of combine hiking and, you know, breathing and meditation as a way of, you know, evolve, mm-hmm. as a way of evolving your hiking, as a way of evolving your creativity, you know. So sometimes I also use hiking and mental training with corporations and leaderships groups and CEOs, and I take them out, or actors or athletes that uh-huh. wants to evolve something. So I can also tailor make hikes with people or groups. But sometimes I organize these bigger Trey. So we've been, Maria, my colleague who also follows along, she's like the group leader. Mm-hmm. We take people to like the Dolomites. We've been to Grand Canyon. We've been to Iceland. We've been to Lofoten up in Norway. We're going there again now in August. So for us, it's very important to find the right location where the current or the local uh-huh. culture is very embedded in that theme. And you have these fantastic surroundings and where you can kind of like do the work and also enjoy spectacular views, work on your hiking skills like breathing, posture, movement, and people leave feeling like, wow, I actually evolved my hiking, you know, techniques and my breathing techniques and used the hikes of the mountains and the trails as a way of connecting not only to yourself, but mm-hmm. also to the world and other people.
Oh, wow. That's big. That's great.
Yeah.
Ulrika, thank you very, very much for this great podcast and for your great book.
Thank you so much.
For the Germans, again, the book, I'm going to switch into German. Das Buch heißt nochmal für euch Hike Palma de Mallorca, die schönsten Wanderrouten rund um die Metropole. Und ich bin mir sicher, dass wenn ihr das nächste Mal auf Mallorca seid, dass euch das Buch irgendwie weiterhelfen wird, dass ihr Mallorca noch besser kennenlernt und Palma noch mehr lieben lernt. Thank you very much again, Ulrika. Hope to meet you in Mallorca someday.
Yeah, thank you. Danke.
Yeah, bitte. Have a great day.
Tack, tack, tack. Thank you so much. Yeah. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Das war von Meilen und Zeilen. Alle zwei Wochen neu, immer freitags. Wenn's euch gefallen hat, abonniert uns, liked uns, empfehlt uns. Oder schreibt uns an podcast@delius-klasing.de. Nur bei uns gibt's echte Abenteuer direkt ins Ohr.